We are going to be in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 today. Although we could add some scriptures to it, that's our basic place. You kind of find it, and you can kind of relax a little bit. Need to make some notes about some other scriptures, you might want to do that, but not necessarily, I guess, as well. But this was supposed to be a couple weeks ago, and I really was sick. I didn't just stay home for no reason. It's really hard for me to stay home, but I thought it was for your better interest and mine as well that I did, and appreciate people stepping up at the last minute to take care of the service. Appreciate Gideon's being here last week as well, and I heard that you had a good service, and I got a note from Mr. Evans praising you all, and telling me what a nice congregation I had. I should write him back and say, I know, I never knew that before. very, very good offering for the Gideons as well. And thank you for that. The Word of God going forward. That's one of the places you can give, and 100% of it goes to this disbursement, the placing of scriptures in the hands of people. And that's a good thing. Well, as I said, this sermon was supposed to be a couple weeks ago, so I've had to move it back. And actually, I can work Mother's Day into this a little bit. When we get to the end, I will kind of bring it in at least as a thought, part of the process of thinking. Ladies, you are very special, and I know that you don't always think that we men think that, but the reality is we do, and we are thankful to God. And yeah, there are times, I understand, we get a little bit anxious about you, but that's just life. But God has blessed us in our lives. I would hope and pray each one of you with in some way, a mother that has been very meaningful to you. But let me go on with this. This is a very important set of two verses. Again, I often say it's one of the first verses I ever memorized. Well, I don't remember the order in which I memorized verses, but I used to, as a kid, memorize a lot of verses. And I'm glad that I did, because I still have them today. If I was wanting to memorize them today, I would be in big trouble, because when I try today, it just doesn't work as good as it used to back in the good old days. But anyway, these are extremely important verses, and they relate very directly to the topic of which we were covering and the dilemma that we had in the last time we were together, Romans chapter 7, of not doing what we don't want to do and doing what we don't want to do, or something like that. The power that sin still exerts within our lives sometimes, that we do things that we really don't think that we should be, that we know that we shouldn't be doing. And the things that we want to do, sometimes we don't do because of sin that is around us. And that dilemma. We have this new nature in Christ. We are born again internally. We have the Spirit of God within us. But we're still in this same old flesh and blood body. And we still have this mind and emotions and will that has been under the influence of sin. And so we struggle until that day that our salvation has been completed at the coming of Christ, when we will be in His presence and we will be completely changed, not only in spiritually, but also physically and mentally and emotionally as well. And we will be completed and set for eternity. But what do we do In the meantime, we're stuck here. That might be a bad way to put that. But it's sometimes how I feel sometimes. I'm stuck here. God, you can take me home anytime you want. Although sometimes that gets even a little scary. But, God, what do I do in the meantime? He's left us upon this earth, even after salvation, for a reason and a purpose. And you know many of those reasons, and they may be varied and different, but there are reasons that we are here. God just doesn't take us to be with Him once we get saved. He's left us here. And so how do I live in this world that I am a part of, that surrounds me? I wish to address that this morning. How do I deal with sin in my life now as a Christian? How do I go about the process the best I can to help allow God to change me and make me more like Jesus? The sanctification process, the experiential process of sanctification. Well, we're going to talk about that from Romans 12, 1 and 2 this morning. And our approach is going to be, these two verses are full. There's a lot of good stuff here, and we don't have time for it all to elaborate. But we're going to first approach it from the perspective of our approach to God, in verse 1, and then in verse 2, our approach to the world that we live in, the world that surrounds us. So let's start with verse 1, and it says that we are to present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is our spiritual service of worship. This is not talking about salvation. This is talking about living in this world, the life that Christ has left us here to live. Present our bodies a living sacrifice. Our salvation is through Christ and through Christ alone, and not through our bodies or not through what we have done or can do or will do. It is through Christ and through Christ alone. And we have been made acceptable to God through Christ, not through ourselves. We are acceptable because of Christ living within us, and Christ having taken our sins upon Himself upon the cross and bestowing His righteousness upon us. But in our response to salvation, then, we are to present our bodies. Of course, as I often say, I learned all my verses in the King James. Present our bodies a living sacrifice. That my body, my being, my total being is to be presented to God a sacrifice. It has within it contained some of the understanding of the Old Testament sacrifices that were offered by the priest to God as offerings to Him, to honor Him. Not just the sin offerings, but the thank offerings and all the other offerings as well. That our bodies is to be to God a living sacrifice offered to Him. It's in response to our salvation that we would offer ourselves to God. The terminology that we ran into earlier on in Romans, the fact that in before salvation we were slaves to sin, that sin was our master and we were in bondage to it. But now that we're saved, we've been freed from that bondage. But now we have the ability to offer ourselves to be in bondage to Christ, to be a sacrifice, to offer ourselves a sacrifice to be used by Him, to honor Him and to worship Him and to serve Him within this life in which we live. It is, it says, our reasonable service. At least that's, again, the King James. It's our spiritual service in this translation. But I understand this. It is our reasonable service. It's reasonable for us to do this. The Greek word here is a Greek word that in the Greek has to do with logic. Now, I know that some people are more logical than other people. Some of you don't care much about logic. Some of you are very, very interested in it. And you demand a certain amount of logic within your life. You need to understand. Things need to be a little bit logical. Well, this is logical. Because of what He has done for us, right? When we're talking about being believers, when we're talking about being Christians, when we're talking about being saved from our sins, and all that Christ did to accomplish that, dying on the cross and going through what He went through, He gave Himself and took our sin, the sinless one took our sin upon Himself that we might have our sin paid for and taken away, that we might have life in Him. It's only reasonable, it's only logical that we would desire to give something back to Him. When somebody does something special for you, they don't expect anything in return. Maybe. They might, but let's say that they don't. But sometimes, you know, I've even had food end up on my doorstep as repayment for something I've done for someone. Now, that's a logical response to that person. It's not that they can ever repay maybe what you've done, and in this case, it's impossible to repay Christ for what He's done for us. But it's logical that we would give ourselves back to Him to serve Him and to be useful for Him as we live our lives within this world. It's logical because of what He has done for us. Also carries with it a priestly service, offering to God our worship. What is it that He has done for you? You know, this isn't Thanksgiving, but we could sing the song, "Count your blessings, name them one by one. See what God has done for you." How often do you count your blessings? How often do you think about what God has done? And it always comes back to me, to His grace and mercy, the salvation. Starts with His love, Romans 5:8. God commanded His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Involves His mercy and grace that we didn't deserve, but He gave to us anyway. His patience in committing Himself to continue to work within me. He who hath begun a good work in you will continue it until the day of redemption. All of the various big and small miracles of life. Once in a while I get on a roll. That happened about a month or two ago. And I could just see little things happening in my life that God just precisely, what have I said about miracles? Oftentimes they're just God's precise timing. They're common, ordinary things, if there is such a thing, but they come about in a place and a time that works something perfectly out. God's precise timing can lead to many miracles within our lives. And when you get on a roll and you're looking for those, it's pretty exciting. It's pretty amazing because they're all around us. We see them all the time if we've got our eyes open. And of course, there's always the big miracles, whatever they are, that may happen within our lives, that come into our lives and are seen by maybe many, many people. And maybe even through them, people are drawn to Christ in a very powerful way. Understanding this is not about desire that that is within us in and of ourselves, and the capability to be a sacrifice and to be used by God in and of ourselves. We don't have oftentimes, and probably not ever, do we have the power to be this kind of living sacrifice without the power of the Holy Spirit working within us to bring us to that place and to work within us to do what God wants to do within our lives. Again, it is a God thing. We need the Holy Spirit to empower. It is logical we allow the Holy Spirit to empower us to present ourselves to God a sacrifice to be used by Him. Okay, that's our approach to Him. And as I said, there's a lot of stuff in there that we could spend more time on. But secondly, is our approach to the world. Verse 2. This is where we are at till we leave, one way or another. I'm going to leave this world either in death or at the return of Christ when He snatches me up, raptures me up, and changes me to be with Him for eternity. I'm stuck here. I've tried to jump off this planet before and it don't work. It just don't work. We need to remember that this world, it says, and be not conformed to this world. World is the system under which Satan is in power. It is everything that is antithetical to God. And yet we're stuck here. All that surrounds us, all that's that is a part that is in not under the auspices of God's kingdom, of His believers, of His church, of the work and the ministry that He's doing within this in this world. All that is in that is apart from that is a part of the world, part of the opposition to God. It says in verse 2 that we're not to be conformed to it. You know how hard that can be sometimes? I think you do, because I think you probably struggle with it like I do. A major source of conflict in our lives. We have a new life in Christ, and we are a new creation. That's a part of who we are, but we're conflicted by the beliefs and the philosophy of the world that surrounds us. And it's everywhere. You can't even, you know, we used to talk about being ostrich, those big birds in Australia, and hiding our heads in the sand. You know, and some of the monks used to go to these monasteries and separate themselves from the world, and they didn't even know what was going on. Is that realistic? Is that right? I don't think so. I think we should be out in the open. Targets, so to speak. Well, I don't mean it that way, but you know, we should be out here. We should be surrounded by it, but not conformed by it. We're conflicted by the beliefs and the philosophies of this world, and oftentimes it becomes hard to understand the differences because of our conformity. It's easy to be conformed to the world in which we live. We're told here not to be conformed, but to instead be transformed. Ha, there's a difference here. Conformed means that we are to be fitted into a mold, so to speak. We're pushed into a shape, into a style, into a belief system, a philosophical viewpoint that is not right. Instead, we're to be transformed. We're here, and we live here, and we're a part of all that's around us. But we need to be transformed away from its philosophy, away from its belief system, away from that which takes us away from the truth of God. We're conflicted by it. And it's hard sometimes to understand. Not to be conformed, but to be transformed. If you're not in the process of being transformed, you've probably already been conformed to this world that we live in, to the belief systems that are in opposition to God. Again, back to this understanding that there's two conflicting viewpoints. There's two different philosophies of life. There's a worldview and there is a God view or a biblical view. Which do you fit into? Which are you being conformed to the worldview, or are you being transformed out of this life into out of this mindset that is a worldly mindset, being transformed into the image of God? Be transformed. How does that take place? It says here, by the renewing of your mind. I need a new mind. I understand that. But part of my conflict is that my mind sometimes gets so saturated with everything that's around me that is wrong, that is Satan-inspired, that is sin. And I'm being attacked for not falling into line. I'm being attacked for standing for something that the rest of the world doesn't understand that I stand for. In fact, they're standing for something in complete opposition. So if you're not in the process of being transformed, because I believe it's a continuing process, because we're continually trying, the world is trying to continually conform us, by the renewing of your mind, that you can be transformed. The mind is where it takes place. What your mind is being fed is of utmost importance. What's going into your mind, what's becoming solidified in your mind, will decide whether there's conformity or whether there's transformity. What your mind accepts as truth is what you think of as truth. How many people in this world are in complete opposition to God's principles, but they believe they're right? Because, and I'm not talking about relativism here, that what is relative to you can become true to you and to you alone. I'm not talking about that. But they're so convinced of the conformity to this system that's apart from God that they believe that it's truth. And it's not. And we as Christians have a problem that we better be careful about, that we don't get conformed into thinking something that is not truth, that is not from God. What your mind accepts as truth is what you think of as truth, whether it is truth or not. You think of it as truth. What is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. God's perfect will, what becomes perfect. You have to make that distinction. You have to decide in your mind what's what. Because there are two abusing viewpoints on almost everything, particularly as it relates to God and who God is. In other words, what is your source? What's going to tell you what is true? Is it what you're being told from the world around you, or is it the Word of God? That's where I have to eventually come to in my thinking, from my perspective. I can get confused on a lot of things if I try to figure it out on my own. But oftentimes, God's Word is, The reality is it's never confusing. Sometimes we get confused by it, but it's not confusing. It's truth, and it's there. It is the source by which we must think and allow our minds to be transformed by. I'm not going to get into any details, but I said I would bring in Mother's Day. How about the worldview of women today? Ladies, do you ever get confused about who you are and what you're supposed to be as a woman created by God to be a woman? Whew. There's some confusing things out there. I know. You hear them. And I believe that within the church today, there are confusing things about women being taught. It always goes back to God's creation and His design. Anything that God has created or designed, which is basically everything, huh? Okay. Satan will come up with the antithesis of that. He will bring in another aspect, something totally different about design and what it's supposed to be. He will change that design. That's a part of who he is, trying to change who God is. God can't do that, but Satan tries to do that. It's something, and I won't get into the details, ladies, but it's something that you have to determine. How do you determine that? By the transformation of your mind that comes from the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about who you are as a mother, as a wife, as a woman? What does the Word of God have to say about that? Does it have anything to say about it? Oh, I think it does. And how you fit into God's creation. And there's a great study there, ladies, that you can enter into. How do you know what's right and what's wrong? What's good, what's acceptable, what's perfect? You must be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It can't be just what the popular viewpoint that surrounds us is. It's what God says. It's who God is. It's God's design and God's purpose that can come only from God, and it's been given to us through His Word, taught and impressed by the Holy Spirit of God. Well, I'll wind it up. You live in a fallen world, but if you are truly a believer, you have a new nature in that it desires God and His truth. You are to be, because of that, you are to present yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable. Your holiness comes from the holiness of Christ. And God, the holiness that God is producing in you through the Spirit of God, a living sacrifice to be used by Him, to be adorned by Him, to live for Him in this world. But it's a struggle. So what do you do and how do you cope until then? Present yourselves daily to God and commit to being transformed. And I think that's almost a daily thing, if not even more than that. Being committed to the transformation of your mind. There's a big battle going on up in here. Oh, man. Sometimes it's even scary. But there's a battle going on for your mind. What are you going to use? How are you going to manage that battle? What are you going to go to? It must be the Word of God. to be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, and we just pray that in our hearts and minds that we might be able to think biblically, to think spiritually through the Holy Spirit of God within us in a way that our minds would see and be informed of your truth, and our minds would be transformed. There's a battle going on all around us, and the struggle within the Christian life is always there and will be until we're exited out. But until then, Father, allow us to be transformed, continually transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Father, I just pray that you would help each one of us to be able to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.